I'm not trying to be comical, but according to the last talk, this is not a half-truth. This is a full truth. We're very happy to have Brother Jerry Monette with us. We appreciate the labor of love of every elder to spend time and prepare a service for us. We appreciate that very much. And Brother Jerry has chosen for the topic, the title of his Vesper service would be John the Baptist speaking, "He must increase and I must decrease." Brother Jerry.
Brethren, the opening hymn, as well as the closing hymn, will be on the screen. Several months ago, we did not quite this exact presentation, but very similar out in the out east, and it was requested that we duplicate it, with the one exception that we added some brethren from Chicago area, and the we want to thank the brethren from Chicago who provided us with many photographs. So that we could add them to the presentation. So, with that being said, we would like to now start our presentation. When we consider the condition and the uncertainty in the world today, we see that the protests of the Arab Spring may well turn into the repression of the Arab autumn as the Muslim Brotherhood continue to gain influence in Egypt. Syria is aflame in civil war. Bombs go off almost daily in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan. Rockets in Gaza are continually aimed at Israel. Iran either threatens to get the bomb or to use it once they get it. America has fought World Wars I and II, Korea, Vietnam, and more recently Iraq and Afghanistan, all to supposedly make the world safe for democracy. But nothing America or any other nation or organization or ideology can do will bring peace to this troubled and sin-sick world. Ideologies have come and gone. The world has tried fascism, communism, liberalism, conservatism. They all promised a better day, but mostly they have brought neither peace nor prosperity. International solutions, such as the League of Nations, which was a noble idea, has turned out to be mostly irrelevant. And the United Nations, for its part, isn't much more than an international debating society. The new European Union seems to be going the way of the failed dreams of the past, of Charlemagne, Napoleon, and Hitler, of one system, one ideology. The European Union, the United Nations, globalization, and advanced technology have all failed to smooth over age-old cultural, geopolitical, and national differences and bring hope for a better day. What then is the world left with? The only lasting and permanent solution is the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. And for this cause, our brethren who have preceded us have laid down their lives as part of the sin offering so that they might be a part of that blesser seed that will bless all the families of the earth when the world shall once and for all time beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. So as we look around us at the trouble in the world today, when we see these things begin to take place, we can stand up and lift our heads, because our deliverance is drawing near. And so it has been. The church during the harvest period is growing smaller and smaller as our brethren finish their earthly courses and join the church on the other side of the veil. And this is to be expected. When John the Baptist had announced the presence of Messiah, his influence soon began to wane as he testified it would do so, saying of Christ in John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So it has been at the end of this age. The work of the John the Baptist class closes with the announcement that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that the king is present. As John decreased, his special work being accomplished when his message was delivered, so the church in the flesh must decrease when its last message is given, until the last member has laid down his consecrated life and passed beyond the veil into glory, thenceforth to be a member of the glorious reigning Christ. As John said that Jesus must increase, so now that the kingdom is about to be fully established, we can confidently say that the king is present and that his kingdom must increase and fill the whole earth. And so year by year, the body of Christ on this side of the veil decreases as our beloved brethren finish their course in the narrow way. We can no longer share their fellowship, but we can share the memories and the examples that their lives provided us, and we can be comforted in the hope that they have gone on to their spiritual rewards. And so it is in the spirit of love for the memory of our brethren that we share with you in picture, "He must increase, but I must decrease."
Yeah.
In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. What then is the way that leads to life? The narrow way, the way less traveled. What the path involves is suggested by a number of images. Jesus used the imagery of the heart when he said in Matthew 22:37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." The heart represents what you are at the deepest level. The heart that is centered on self becomes closed and hardened. The heart centered on God becomes open and receptive to his will. Jesus used the imagery of the heart to speak of the need for the internal transformation from self-will to God's will. The narrow way as a path of self-transformation is also spoken of as the way of death. Jesus said in Mark 8, 34 and 35, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." The path that leads to death is the path to a new life. It is the way less traveled and is life in the Spirit. It is the life Jesus knew, and it is the life that his footstep followers know as we keep our vision, the eyes of our understanding, on Jesus and the prize set before us.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart.
Sister Bessie Sennewald was a quiet and unassuming sister. She was born and raised in Maine, and even though she lived in Connecticut for the last 50 years of her life, she retained her Maine accent. Sister Bessie was a deep thinker and a spiritually minded person. She got the truth later in life from listening to the Frank and Ernest program when she was in her 60s. Her interest was sparked because the program was on God and reason. She liked the thought that the Bible could be reasoned upon. We had the privilege of getting to know Sister Bessie when we had studies and fellowship with her for several years at her home in an assisted living facility in Rockville, Connecticut. Although very quiet and not one to say two words when one would suffice, she had a beautiful way with words. Her prayers revealed a deep personal relationship with God and were simple yet poignant. She enjoyed writing letters to brethren and poetry. Sister Bessie died in 2004 at the age of 99. We've asked Sister Barbara Jesuit to read one of Sister Bessie's poems entitled My One Talent.
I have no voice for singing. I cannot make a speech. I'm an amateur in music and no expert when I teach. I'm not an organizer, for I've never been that wise. I write, but I'm quite doubtful if I'd ever win a prize. I love to meet with brethren. It's a privilege seldom mine. And when others are performing, is then my talent shines. I appreciate the gifted who express their thoughts so clear. Thus they help me with my talent. I've an excellent listening ear. If that is my only talent, it is neither big nor rare. I can listen and encourage, and I can fill a vacant chair. I can comfort from the scriptures, and when all is said and done, maybe I'm equipped to handle just one talent, only one. Hark, the voice of my dear master, helping doubts and fears to flee. What you do unto each other, you are doing unto me. Blessed Master, how we love thee, and in loving thee we find that we have a special treasure in that blessed tie that binds.
Seat.
On an island in southern China, this 12-week-old baby rhesus monkey, a protected species in China, was abandoned by its mother. It was close to death when it was rescued by a refuge worker and taken to an animal hospital. His physical health soon improved, but he was left sad and listless. In the National Nature Reserve where he lived, nothing changed until he developed an unusual friendship with one of the thousands of white pigeons that are everywhere in the sanctuary. The pigeon seemed to have adopted the little monkey, and they were never far from each other's side. The staff at the animal sanctuary said the newfound friendship had given the little monkey a new lease on life, and his spirit revived. While these two make up an unlikely duo, their story is not all that unusual in the animal kingdom. We have heard many stories of one species taking another species into their care in times of need. When we look around us here today, we can see some similarities amongst ourselves. Many of us would seem like odd choices for friends by worldly standards. But what binds us together is not worldly interests, but love for the Lord and his plan of salvation for all people. This is what binds us together in love for one another as we continue to encourage and hold each other up as we walk side by side in this narrow way of sacrifice.
Sky to close the day away the surf where dolphins play, the taste of salt, the dance of waves, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. A lightning flash, my pounding heart, a breaching well, a shooting star. Give testimony that you are, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise him all his mighty works. There is no language where you can't be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. of life within my wrist, a falling storm, a rising mist. There is no higher praise than this, and my soul wells up, oh, my soul wells up, yes, my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him all His mighty works. There is no language where You can't be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah.
Three months after being delivered from Egyptian bondage, God made this promise to His people in Exodus 19:3-6. Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And later, in Deuteronomy 4:31, God makes this promise. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. These same promises are made to us in Hebrews 13:5-6. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because of these great and precious promises, we can say with Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
If I flee on morning wings,
Hebrews 11 speaks of a cloud of witnesses to faith, giving examples of faith and the abuse suffered on account of faith. Hebrews 11:36-39 says of these heroes of faith, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And of our brethren who have suffered as part of their sin offering experiences, what can be said? Many endured years of unspeakable pain and hardship that could be plainly seen by all. Others endured more privately what only they themselves knew of their pain. Like the heroes of faith of old, our brethren have also left an enduring example for us. And so we can take courage in that if they were able to endure, then we, by God's grace, will also be able to endure whatever pain and suffering the Lord permits us.
Substitution, something on the road.
our hope and the hope of our brethren that have preceded us is in the kingdom. And as each year goes by and more of our brethren are gathered to our heavenly bridegroom, the kingdom is nearer than the year before. We rejoice in this, but it also grieves us to see our brethren depart. This was true of Paul and the Ephesian brethren, as expressed in Acts 20. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. As we look about us, there will perhaps be some that we will not see again. And to this we say with John the Baptist, he must increase, but I must decrease.
Jesus, you can have all.
this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before Thee, so very thankful for Your beautiful plan of salvation for all of mankind. We thank You, Father, for the gift of Your Son, and we thank You also for the examples of our brethren. We pray, Father, that each of us, with our heads bowed before Thee, will fulfill our consecrations, so that this poor groaning creation might receive those blessings You have in store for them. We thank You, Father, for all things, especially the sacrifice of Your only begotten Son. And it is in His name and it is His merit that we pray. Amen.